Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents 101 Tips for a Zero-Waste Kitchen by Catherine Kellogg, narrated by Sarah Van Beckham. Introduction. Like most kids, I couldn't wait for summer vacation. My dad was in the Air Force, and we moved around quite a lot. But no matter where I was in the world, for 1 month, I got to live with my grandmother in Arkansas. Those Arkansas summers felt like magic. She lived in a small two-bedroom apartment, and that second bedroom always felt like home. We'd marathon old movie musicals, eat dessert first, go on long walks, and I even got to work with her. She worked at the Arkansas Rice Depot, a hunger relief organization. Specifically, she worked with the Food for Kids program and delivered food all over the state in a sprinter van. Arkansas ranks fourth in the nation for childhood hunger, and nearly one in four children face food hardship. The Food for Kids program provided schools with food for meal programs, and the backpack program, whereby easy-to-prepare foods such as oatmeal, granola bars, canned soup, mac and cheese, and PB&J were discreetly sent home in backpacks for students on a weekly or daily basis. During the summer, she'd plot all her routes for the week across the state, and we'd wake up at 5 a.m. to try to beat the morning traffic. When we got to Rice Depot, the van was loaded and ready to go. Then we'd set off on an adventure. I got an intimate look at my home state from the passenger side window. We explored all sorts of back roads, the foothills of the Ozark Mountains, and tried to find small towns with the best names, my personal favorite being Possum Grape. We played the Patsy Cline CD until it broke, rode past miles of rice fields, and stopped at small-town diners for mashed potatoes and hand pies. When we'd reach a school on the list, my grandmother would grab her clipboard and call out how many cases of each type of food were to be dropped off. I would ferret my way into the van and hand the cases to someone at the school who'd load them onto a dolly. Once we finished the drop, we'd jump back in the van and head to the next school until the van was empty. Then we'd return home and prepare to do the same thing the next day. My grandmother passed away in 2017, but spending those summers with her remains one of my favorite childhood memories. She instilled my love for musical theater, for always ordering dessert, and taught me about the importance of community, politics, and how all of that plays into issues such as income inequality and hunger. According to the USDA, more than 34 million people, including 9 million children, are food insecure in the United States. We could feed them all with what we throw away and still have food left over. So why don't we? I'm going to do a little math. I love math, but if numbers aren't your particular cup of tea, feel free to skip the equations and head straight to the next section. The math. Feeding America reports the average meal weighs 1.2 pounds. Assuming three meals a day, that's 3.6 pounds of food. But for the sake of this example, let's round to four. 34 million people are experiencing food insecurity, times 4 pounds of food equals 136 million pounds of food. 136 million pounds of food a day times 365 equals 49,640 million pounds of food each year. For this example, let's round to an even 50 billion. In the United States, we waste 40% of all our food. In 2021, ReFed estimated that 80 million tons of food were wasted. 1 ton equals 2,000 pounds. 80 million times 2,000 equals 160 billion pounds. With 160 billion pounds of food wasted, there is an accompanying wastage of 22.4 trillion gallons of water, 380 million metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalent, and $444 billion. So with the 160 billion pounds of food wasted, we could easily cover the 50 billion pounds needed to feed every person facing food insecurity, and we'd still have 110 billion pounds left over. The takeaway. I think the most interesting part of the ReFed's research is that more than half of all our food waste comes from the residential sector, meaning our very own kitchens. Residential, 43.6 million tons, 54.5%. Farm, produce only, 13.5 million tons, 16.9%. Food service, 12.8 million tons, 16%. Manufacturing, 7.02 million tons, 8.8%. Retail, 3.01 million tons, 3.8%. In low-income areas, waste usually occurs unintentionally. It happens on the farm or during storage and distribution. In wealthier regions, food waste occurs further along the supply chain, such as with retailers and consumers. In the United States, retailers often reject food based on superficial characteristics, such as a minor blemish or a scar, if it's a little too big or small or slightly misshapen. Yes, we have beauty standards for our food. Produce with the slightest imperfection, even one that has no bearing on flavor, freshness, or quality, will be rejected from grocery store shelves. For instance, consider a USDA card for strawberries. Some strawberries are considered acceptable, but others are deemed unacceptable due to their shape, no matter how delicious they may be. Sometimes, this less-than-perfect produce makes it to a food bank or becomes livestock feed, but arranging transportation can be expensive or prohibitive due to time constraints. More often than not, it's left in the field to rot or carted to the landfill. You might think, well, who cares if my food scraps go to a landfill? Won't they just biodegrade? But get this. When food or organic matter is sent to a landfill, it doesn't really decompose, because landfills are designed for storage, not decomposition. And in this big storage bin of trash, trapped organic matter, such as your food scraps, releases methane. Methane is around 30 times more potent than carbon dioxide. When I say more potent, I mean it hangs out in the atmosphere longer and has a more significant warming effect. And 16% of all methane emissions in the United States come from landfills. This, of course, doesn't even account for all the energy, resources, and money put into growing, processing, packaging, and transporting it. Producing uneaten food also means squandering valuable resources, such as seeds, water, energy, land, fertilizer, and the time and effort of people who work to grow and harvest it, increasing emissions throughout the entire food production and distribution process. All of this makes food waste, if it were a country, the third largest emitter of greenhouse gases behind the United States and China. Beyond the climate aspect, we haven't even brushed the financial aspect. According to the USDA, the average American family of four loses at least $1,500 annually to uneaten food. The food waste documentary, Just Eat It, reveals that households were wasting between 15 and 25% of their purchased food. It's like walking out of a grocery store with four bags of food, dropping one in the parking lot, and leaving it behind. Our food waste happens for several reasons. Not going into the grocery store with a plan. Not understanding how to store and preserve produce properly. Misunderstanding best buy, sell by, and use by dates, and not knowing how to use all parts and get the most out of produce. For instance, fresh broccoli costs $1.99 per pound at my local grocery store. Most households in the United States cut off the stalk and eat only the florets. Right there, you're paying an extra dollar for something you're throwing away, and the stalk is delicious if you know how to use it. Throughout this book, we'll explore my top tips to prevent food waste in your home because it will save you money and was cited as the number one solution to reducing greenhouse gas emissions, according to Project Drawdown in 2022. From my experience, there are three key areas in which you can prevent food waste in your home. So I wanted to create an easy and approachable handbook to help you solve these three problems. The goal of this book is to help make your kitchen routines both manageable and enjoyable. By incorporating these three essential practices, you can simplify your post-grocery shopping routine, save time, and ensure that your food stays fresh and accessible. First, we'll cover how to set yourself up for success by prepping and planning with ease. Then, we'll talk about how to store your produce for maximum efficiency, and finish up with some of my favorite recipes and ways to utilize your produce even after it's past its prime. Now, the second most impactful swap, according to Project Drawdown, is adopting a plant-rich diet. Animal agriculture contributes significantly to greenhouse gas emissions, and choosing more plant-based foods, fruits, veggies, legumes, etc., significantly lowers your carbon footprint, requires less land, water, and energy, and helps preserve biodiversity by reducing deforestation and habitat loss. So all of the recipes provided in this book will also be plant-based. However, it would be imprudent to ignore that most households in the United States consume animal products. Acknowledging this, I think it is important to address the issue of food waste because it comes with the absolute highest price tag in both an economical and ecological sense. If it's going to be purchased, the least that can be done is to ensure not a bit goes to waste. Two impactful swaps, one delicious book. What could be better than that? Chapter 1. Grocery Prep and Meal Planning. If you want to avoid food waste, you need to set yourself up for success. And that happens before you click order, head to the farmer's market, or even step foot inside a grocery store. In this chapter, we're going to examine our habits, practice intentional meal planning, and sustainable shopping practices. Examining our current shopping and eating habits is crucial because there's often a disconnect between who we want to be and who we actually are. If we can recognize that gap, we can shift our shopping habits and behaviors and bring those together. This not only creates a more conscious and fulfilling relationship with food, it also allows us to save money and reduce waste. Grocery stores use some sneaky psychological tricks to encourage you to spend more money and buy more food than you need. One way they do this is through abundance. They create appealing displays that overflow with food, which stimulates our senses, can trigger cravings, and encourages you to buy more. They also like to put staples, such as milk and bread, at the back of the store. This often forces you to walk through aisles of tempting snack foods, complete with eye-catching, colorful graphics and promotional offers that make them difficult to resist. And when you end up buying things you don't need, the likelihood that they will go to waste rises. An effective way to reduce buying too much at the store is to create a meal plan and stick to it. Even if meal planning is your least favorite chore, I've created several strategies to help you plan and get meals on the table fast. By understanding your schedule, energy levels, and preferred cooking times, we can develop a plan that allows you freedom and suits your current needs. Once you actually get to the grocery store, we'll look at a few easy swaps that will make your trips more intentional and eco-friendly. The average American goes to the grocery store at least once a week, so many of these small swaps will add up to a major impact over a year and beyond. 1. Get to know your habits. How well do you know yourself and your eating habits? I find there are two versions of myself. There's the aspirational version of myself, and then the real-life version of myself. The aspirational version of myself is filled with wonder, opportunity, and excitement. This idealized version of myself typically does the grocery shopping. I love her for her optimism, hope, and spontaneity, but boy, she gets me in trouble. She'll gleefully grab a gorgeous piece of produce that she's never tried before. Does she look up a recipe and see what other ingredients she has to make it work? Of course not. She's a dreamer, not a planner. Aspirational Catherine will decide she wants a salad and buy enough for the whole week. But did she check the weather forecast and see that the high will be 35 degrees Fahrenheit by tomorrow? Of course not. I can't speak for you, but I'm a soup girl when it dips below 40 degrees Fahrenheit. If I'd only checked the weather, I could have gone with a kale-based salad, which easily could double into a delicious Tuscan white bean and kale soup when the weather took a turn. So real life Catherine is often stuck dealing with aspirational Catherine's poor choices, even though those poor choices were made with the best of intentions. When you shop without understanding your own eating habits, it can lead to tons of food waste. But if you go into the grocery store knowing exactly what food will suit your needs, you're much less likely to end up throwing out that poor rutabaga you didn't know what to do with, or the spinach that went bad before you could make a salad. So think about what kind of shopper you are and how you could best shop to fit your own lifestyle and eating habits. What kind of shopper are you? After studying my and others' shopping patterns, I've identified the three main types of shoppers. You might be one, two, or hit the trifecta and be all three, like me. Take the quiz and find out whether you're a dreamer, achiever, or seeker. Instructions. For each question, choose the option that best represents your grocery shopping and meal planning habits. Be honest in your answers to get the most accurate results. At the end of the quiz, tally up your answers and see which personality type best describes your shopping style. 1. When you go grocery shopping, what is your approach to buying ingredients? A. I love exploring new ingredients and buy them without a specific plan. B. I tend to buy ingredients for elaborate meals that require a lot of time and effort. C. I often buy more ingredients than I can realistically use before they spoil. D. I plan my meals in advance and buy ingredients accordingly. 2. How often do you find yourself not using all the ingredients you bought before they go bad? A. Frequently. I buy things on a whim and struggle to use them all. B. Occasionally. I often overestimate my energy and time available for cooking. C. Quite often, I tend to buy more food than I can consume before it spoils. D. Rarely. I plan my meals carefully and use ingredients efficiently. 3. How well do your grocery shopping habits align with your lifestyle and cooking routine? A. Not very well. I'm more of a spontaneous cook and adapt my plans based on my mood. B. Not well at all. I often buy ingredients that require more time and effort than I can give. C. Not too well. I often overestimate the amount of food I can realistically consume. D. Very well. I carefully consider my lifestyle and cooking routine when planning my groceries. 4. How often do you end up ordering takeout or eating out? A. Frequently. I enjoy trying different cuisines and restaurants. B. Quite often. I often feel too exhausted to prepare the elaborate meals I desire. C. Occasionally. Sometimes I order food to prevent ingredients from going to waste. D. Rarely. I prioritize cooking at home and have a good balance of energy and motivation. Now, let's tally up your answers. Mostly A's. Congratulations, you are a dreamer. You love the excitement of discovering new ingredients and being spontaneous in the kitchen. Your creativity shines through your diverse grocery shopping, even if it sometimes leads to a lack of meal plans. Mostly B's. Congratulations. You are an achiever. Your ambition leads you to buy ingredients for elaborate meals, but you may find it challenging to execute those plans due to exhaustion after work. Remember to find a balance that aligns with your energy levels. Mostly C's. Congratulations. You are a seeker. Your enthusiasm for food often leads you to buy more ingredients than you can realistically consume before they spoil. Focus on better meal planning and portion control to reduce food waste. Mostly D's. Congratulations, you are a planner. Your organized approach to grocery shopping and meal planning ensures that you make the most of your ingredients and avoid food waste. Keep up the great work. The Dreamer. You might be a dreamer if you go to the grocery store and are seduced by beautiful packaging. You want to try all sorts of new ingredients, but have no idea if you'll actually like them, or you buy things without any kind of plan. If I sound like I'm trying to dissuade you from trying new things, I'm not. I love trying new things. In fact, I used to have a pantry full of things I wanted to try, but I never had any follow-through. I'd buy it in the store without a plan to use it, and it would clutter up my pantry as it got passed over for my tried-and-true staple recipes and ingredients. So, my little dreamer, if you too want to try new things and avoid falling into my trap of a full pantry but nothing to eat, here are my top three tips. Try with a friend who likes and uses that product. When I lived in California, one of my friends loved papaya, which I had never tried. I was super curious, so when I saw a good-looking one, I tossed it in the cart. Now, papayas are a big fruit, so that's a big commitment to buying something I'd never tasted. The intelligent thing would have been to try it at her house, in a fruit cup at a cafe, or at a market stall that lets you sample before you buy. Instead, I just wheeled my giant papaya home, grabbed a spoonful, and realized I do not like papaya. Thankfully, I gave it to my friend, who ate the rest. I'd like to tell you that was the first and only time I made that mistake, but we all know that's not true. Learn from my wasteful mistakes and save lots of resources and money in the process. Shop the bulk and sample section. See whether the product you want to try is available in the bulk section. There, you can pay per pound and get a single serving to try. I've noticed more single-serving samples in the grocery store. I recently bought a handful of packets from the protein powder section. I've been hunting for one that doesn't taste like baby powder or hurt my stomach. Who would have thought that would be such an arduous quest? While I don't love the single-serving idea from a packaging standpoint, it is far less wasteful and way cheaper than buying a big tub and realizing that you don't like it at all. Allow yourself a treat, but do it with a plan. If trying new things at the grocery store brings you immense joy, I don't want to stop you. I just want to get you into the habit of creating a plan and a routine. The next time you're at the store and you see a new ingredient, write it down in your grocery list for the next time you're shopping. Go home and find a recipe to incorporate this new ingredient. Double-check what the recipe calls for to confirm what you already have or need to buy. Then, enjoy your new discovery. The Achiever. You might be an achiever if you shop in a way that doesn't fit your lifestyle. Maybe you dream of making elaborate, time-consuming recipes, but after work, you're too tired to spend 3 hours in the kitchen. Maybe you're like me and plan to make kale salads for every meal, only to realize you're really not that crazy about kale. The aspirational version of yourself loves kale, but the actual real-life version of yourself would rather have butter lettuce. I've always had a disconnect between the person I think I am and the person I actually am. Real Catherine versus idealized Catherine. And that gets me into trouble. In my mind, I'm excellent at gardening, love yoga, spend 3 hours a day in the kitchen, and for some reason dress to the nines a few times a month. In real life, I am a terrible gardener. I'd much rather be at a dance class, am lucky to spend an hour in the kitchen, and live at the theater where I'm always in dance clothes. So why do I have so many formal dresses? I don't know. And when shopping, I have to remember, I'm shopping for real Catherine, not idealized Catherine. Real Catherine needs quick, high-protein snacks. She needs easy-to-prep and portable food. And if I don't have it, that means I'm far more likely to wind up ordering takeout or eating out. While there's nothing wrong with either of those options, it can be expensive and quite wasteful with all of that takeout packaging. And if I'm ordering takeout, all those idealized groceries, They are languishing away in the fridge. If you're an achiever, sit down with your schedule and have an honest heart-to-heart with yourself about what you really need. Pay close attention to the foods you consistently reach for and why you're reaching for them. Is it a quick meal you can make in under 30 minutes? A sandwich. Is it something you're always craving? Also a sandwich. Does it require little to no cleanup? Have I mentioned I like sandwiches? Does it make a bunch of leftovers you love to eat? Chili. I ate a peanut butter and jelly sandwich every day for school from kindergarten till I graduated. However, in all honesty, I briefly visited the baked potato bar a few times in the fifth grade. Sandwiches are my comfort food, but you can choose whatever food works for you. And it's okay if some of the reasonings don't make sense. For instance, I enjoy grapes socially. If someone is coming over for a movie night, or I'm going over to a friend's house for a game night, I always bring grapes. I love them, but there's nothing in the world that could compel me to eat grapes by myself. I don't know why, but grapes are only good in groups. Does it make sense? No. Does it have to? Also no. You just have to know yourself and shop accordingly. Aspirational Catherine would love to buy grapes for herself, but real-life Catherine knows only to buy them for a social engagement. Now that you've identified why you buy things, what you need, and what works for your schedule, take a month or two to get into a good routine. Then you can start trying to make mealtime even more eco-friendly by reducing packaging waste and incorporating more plant-based options. Maybe you like to make a big batch of soup that you can eat throughout the week. Could you make a veggie lentil soup? Could you make a vegetarian chili? Could you cook the dried beans in a slow cooker? Dried beans are a total bargain and have reduced packaging. This slow approach over time should allow you to make changes that will stick. The seeker. You might be a seeker if you buy more food than you or your family can eat. I was guilty of this when I had one of those massive double-door fridges. I would buy groceries to fill the fridge instead of buying what I need. My fridge experiences ranged from a single shelf in actor housing to a mini fridge in a tiny home. I always filled and utilized every square inch of space. So when I moved to a new apartment with a large French door fridge, I did what I always did. I filled it. Like many people, my consumer habits were linked to filling space simply because it's empty. And when we fill space without purpose, it leads to clutter. Very rarely are we filling space with things we actually use and love. When I lived in a tiny home, 325 square feet, I was so strict about what I brought into the house. But when I moved to a larger apartment, 900 square feet, and the one with the offending fridge, I became less strict because I had more space. Unsurprisingly, this resulted in more clutter because we adapt to our space, whether that's closet space, empty drawers, cupboards, or fridges. I could write a whole nother book on sustainable decluttering and embracing empty space, but right now, I have to go back to the fridge. My double-decker fridge had 26 cubic feet of space. According to my local appliance shop, a 26 cubic foot fridge is ideal for a family of five. Being a family of two, no wonder food would go bad on us. We were overstocked, and things were constantly being shoved to the back of the fridge. We would lose track of things we couldn't see, resulting in food waste. Eventually, I learned to embrace the empty space and how to organize everything properly. There's a whole section for tips on organizing your fridge, so in this section, I want to focus on how to embrace buying less. You must go into the store with a plan. There are three methods of planning, and I detail all of them. But for the seeker, the easiest piece of advice I can give you is to buy food for one less meal than you think you need. I always worry about running out of food, and this shows up in two ways. One, I tend to overbuy food. After meticulously going through my grocery list, I go rogue and throw random things in the cart just in case. The second way this manifests is...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?